Voice memo to myself. Special Agent H. Justin Pierce, Monday, January the 5th, 2009, Henderson, Louisiana. And we're back in the fucking bayous. After coming back from Lomax's city house, well, actually more of a burned out city ruin to be more accurate, minus frost. We really ought to revoke his interdimensional travel permit, by the way. One of these days, he's really going to hurt himself. Or worse, me. We've been able to locate the Thibodeau warehouse. Yes, our technology worked for once. And guess what? It's right next door to the Greek Zop Center. Yep, we could have walked home. On that note, Frost almost did. He was given a ride by a couple of Farina goons who apparently thought it was really fucking hilarious that they were driving around a Fed who'd just come into New Orleans on the bus. Frost had enough sense to have them drop him off a couple of blocks from the op center, but then he got lost. It's a miracle he didn't wander back straight into Thibodeau's warehouse. On the other hand, there's a real chance of him getting hurt. And, by extension, me and the others getting hurt in the process, through means unknown. Yeah, through means unknown, a hound of Tindalus is on his trail. Well, we faced one of these bad boys before, in the passage between worlds on Dumain Street. It's a big problem. Right now, the options are A, to keep him in a room without corners indefinitely, that way the hound cannot slip in between the cracks between realities to get at him. B, wait for the inevitable to happen and try and fight it, which, trust me, is not as easy as it sounds. Or C, consult Brooks and see if he can throw the hellhound off the trail. Only problem is, Brooks is away and expected back only in the next couple of days. Expected back, mind you, because, well, right now, who knows? So by the time Frost finally managed to drag his sorry ass back in, we'd have managed to get some research done. 15th of January, 10 days away. There's a big charity doodah, the Superdome, with the kind support of Thibodeau Industries, including a concert by some decrepit Las Vegas cast-off crooner. It's a 25 grand a seat kind of event. Judging by what we know right now, the entertainment is likely to be one-of-a-lifetime kind. So the attendees will get their money's worth, that's for sure. We're still looking into the significance of these three stops along what seems to be a route. We've already dug up the terminus sits on top of a confluence of old, as in really old, sewers below the city. A very convenient way of traveling discreetly. And then there's the floats. Yellow float with a masked king on a throne. A float depicting the landscape of 1920s New Orleans. And a float celebrating jazz heroes. All of them have armored calves. Which reminds me, Anderson is getting edgy. I suggested that we should get some rocket launchers. You know, basic anti-armor stuff. He freaked out, grumbling we're supposed to save the city, not blow up parts of it. Yeah, sure. Like anyone's going to care about a couple of near misses when the whole place is sucked into a galaxy far, far away. You know, we might be outsmarted, outsorcered, and outnumbered, but I'll be ass fucked by a syphilitic rhino if I ever allow my team to be outgunned again. Anyway, while we were doing our research, yeah, I've come full circle once again, Wilmot got a call from Beverly. She's with her parents, recovering. She urged us to contact Jeanette LaFarve. That was odd. Last time I checked, mind you, it's only a couple of weeks ago, really, she was about to be fried by the Nova for using forbidden magic. But apparently she's free, and she's out in a shithole called Henderson. I've probably been there, but frankly, I don't remember. We decided to wait for Frost to get back before going. And another illuminating chat with Anderson. I have no fond memories of our last passage through hillbilly country, but he refused to release full war gear. Duly reunited with Frost, we set off in two cars. Anderson put Chief in charge of this one. You know, it's actually starting to look a little like The Apprentice. Right now, I really wouldn't mind someone saying, "Pierce, you're fired." We made it to the place where Jeanette was bunking. and then got ourselves into a seance, where two spirits put in an appearance, a blast from the past, so to speak. Lurline Dumont and Barney Frank. Sorry, Professor Barney Frank. Respectively, former hooker and former history professor. Former as in found dead with their skin, all of it, missing. Miss Dumont, of course, had drawn our attention back in the early days. I can't believe that was only 3 months ago. She was seen, hale and as healthy as a New Orleans hooker is likely to get, months after her confirmed demise, chatting to a then-suspect in a nuclear terrorism case. Well, that one got solved, in the end. And then we kind of lost track of her. She also sold a very bad and currently unaccounted for book to Lilith Dumont, Tabitha's first mentor. Anywho, we were right in suspecting that Barney and Lurline did have something in common except for their skin removal. Their spirits revealed to us the identity of their killer, a lizard man, an antediluvian. No, not the elder vampires, but the prisoners and slaves of the moon beasts. We were informed that we would gain some benefit from seeking out this nice fellow, whose hobbies seemed to include killing people, skinning them, and taking on their appearance. Oh, what a charming man. All in a day's work, I guess. You know, I can't help but wonder what this all means. Will this lizard man be a link to the antediluvians back in the Dreamlands? You know, I now suspect that those are instrumental for the Iron Army's capacity to produce the anachronistic weapons that give them such a huge advantage there. And then there's the floats. Three of them. Steno will be in three places, and we have to kill him in those three places. Up until now, we've assumed that that meant he would be in the Dreamlands, in Carcosa, and in New Orleans. But what? What if? What if it's more of a metaphor? Three floats. Three places. I'm just losing my mind. But right now, the first thing we have to do is find this skin thief. Might be worthwhile checking if any other skinless corpses have shown up.